good evening, my dear brethren and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course tonight, young people. It's so good to be with you tonight. Can you imagine, young people, in Ephesus, back when Timothy received this letter? Can you imagine him in his little home when this letter arrived? And he read every detail of that letter, line by line, word by word. See, it wasn't just any letter for Timothy, was it? It was a precious letter. A very precious letter. I wonder, young people, whether you've ever received in your life a precious letter. Arrived in the mail. Addressed to you. Have you ever received a precious letter? I received a precious letter once. It was actually about 10 years ago. Exactly 10 years ago. Not today, but this year. It was when I got married. That's how old I am. I've been married for 10 years. And it was from my dad. And it was a letter to me before I got married about life and about some advice for me. There was some funny advice in there. One piece of advice I remember particularly, he said, when you first get married, he said, in the first week, be very diligent with the washing machine. He said, my advice to you is to grab a whole lot of very delicate, woolen, colourful items of Leanne's, along with a whole lot of white shirts, and put them all in the washing machine together and set the cycle. He said, you'll never wash again. And I never have. But along with some advice like that, young people, there was some really important advice. Advice which I've cherished, which I've loved. And I've read that letter, young people, many times because it was a precious letter. And this letter, young people, that Timothy received was no ordinary letter. It was a letter from his father, from the man who had guided him in everything to do with the truth. And it was a letter specifically for that young son, Timothy. And it was a letter, young people, wasn't it, that came with responsibility as he read through that letter. It had all these different things that Paul was charging that man, Timothy, to do. It had action that was required. And as Timothy finished reading that letter, you can imagine him being a little bit daunted by it. Where do I start? How do I apply all these principles that my faithful father Paul has given me? How do I make them real? How do I put them into my life? And that's where we're at, isn't it? That's where everyone in this room is at right now. Because we've been reading this letter, some of us, for 6 months. And we've studied this letter, young people. And we've talked about this letter together. And we've discussed this letter together. About what it means. About what it means to your life and my life. But now it's time to make it real. To make it real. And that's what Timothy had to do in his life. And so he would have looked at the letter and looking for key principles in that letter that would give him something to take away. And I think there was many things in that letter for him, wasn't it? There was stuff about how he had to be a diligent teacher and make sure that he passed on the doctrine to other people in the ecclesia. But I think, young people, that the prevailing essence of that letter that Paul was giving him was that he was teaching him about a way of life. about how he should live. Just come to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And it says there, and we're going to be familiar with all these words because we've been reading them all week. But it says there in verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, even for kings, and this is the prayer that he told Timothy to make, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. See, Paul was calling Timothy to a way of life, and it wasn't a complex life. It was a simple life. It was an honest life. It was a humble life. And he says again in chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, but the aim of our instruction, Timothy, what it's all about, is love that comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. It's a simple faith, Timothy. It's a simple way of life. And there were people in the ecclesia, weren't they, that were ruining that. The verse goes on to say in verse 6, but some have strayed from these and turned away to empty discussion. And there were people that were wrecking the simple, pure life that Paul was talking about. And they were talking about being great teachers. And talking about how it was all about money. And Paul says to Timothy, it's just a simple life. The aim of which is love. And right through this whole letter, young people, was just that. Simple. Everyday teachings about life and about how we should apply godliness. And so he talks, brethren and sisters, in chapter 2 about not putting on clothes to impress people, but that the way that people should see you is the reflection of your character which springs out from within you. He talked about, brethren and sisters, in chapter 3 about the elders and about how the way that you pick an elder is not because he's got a degree in management or that he's really good with working with people, but because his life is gentle and humble and he looks after his family and he loves his family and he teaches his family about God. That's the kind of leader, Timothy, I want in the ecclesia. And he talked about young people then in chapter 4, didn't he? And he said, you've got to harness young people and the simplicity of youth. They've got enthusiasm, Timothy, and with their speech and their conduct, they can provide such an unbelievable example for the ecclesia. And then he talked about how we should treat those that are old in the meeting. How we should talk to people who are struggling. How we should help the widows. How we should respect, brethren and sisters, those in the meeting which have given us the word and taught us about the truth. And he talked about how the fact that we should respect those when we, if we're servants, those that are in authority over us, and give them respect. And he talked about how to be content, not to complicate life with riches and pleasures, but to keep it simple. See, the letter, young people, was all about telling Timothy that what God wants from you and me is a life lived in the everyday little principles of God. And sometimes, young people, we can complicate it, can't we? And we can think in our mind and imagine in our mind that God is wanting from us great and almighty and marvellous acts. And that when we leave this place, that God is wanting us to completely change our entire life and do things that we can never achieve. And Paul is telling Timothy that godliness, young people, is all about the little things. It's all about the everyday, the little things of life and how we apply the teachings of God. That's what it's about. And we know, young people, that that's the life that God wants for us, because that's the kind of people, young people, that he says are going to be in his kingdom. Just come with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 is the Lord's telling his disciples about what it's going to be like when he returns in his kingdom and the type of people that are going to be there in his kingdom. And look what he says from verse 34 through to verse 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "I tell you the truth, just as you did it for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me." They're the kind of people, young people, that God wants in his kingdom. And there's two things that are very interesting about those people. The first one is that the thing that the Lord commends them for are simple, everyday acts done to not the great people, not the mighty people, but the very least of my brothers and sisters. And the second thing, brothers and sisters, about those people is, have you ever noticed how interesting it is that they don't know about those things? They say, "Lord, when did we help that person that was sick? Or when did we help that person that was in prison?" How's that possible? Is it that all the people that are going to inherit the kingdom of God are just going to have really bad memories? Is that what Jesus is saying? The only way, brothers and sisters, that those people could have no idea about all those things that were in their life was because godliness had become so much a part of them. It had become part of who they were and what they stood for. And Jesus says, that's the kind of people, young people, that I want in my kingdom. And he then says, brethren and sisters, in Matthew chapter 7, he talked about another group of people that would come to him in that day. And they would say to him, "Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in your name. In thy name, Lord, we've cast out devils. In your name, Lord, we've done many powerful acts. In your name, Lord, we've led discussion groups. In your name, Lord, I went to study week." And they list all these great and mighty acts. And Jesus said to them, "I never knew you. I don't even recognize you." And why didn't Jesus recognize these people? Why didn't he know who they were? Well, they looked the part, young people. And they participated in all the major events. But their daily, everyday life did not reflect the teachings of God. And Jesus is not saying that some of those big things in their life were not important or he didn't appreciate. But what he's saying is that if that's all they are in your life is these beacons of these big things that you can give me a list about, they're no good to me. I want the everyday teaching of Jesus Christ in your life. God wants us to be people, young people, who make the principles of God part of who we are. I just want you to think for a minute about people in your life who may be like that. Just think about people in your meeting, right? Who godliness has become part of who they are as people. I can think of a couple in our meeting. And they're an older couple. And godliness, young people, is part of who they are. They're not Christadelphians just on Sunday. They are godly every single day of the week. And it doesn't matter when you speak to them, they're always reflecting the principles of God. And they care for people. And they show love for people. I've often times, when I've gone around to drop them something or deliver something to their house, I've gone over at weird times, hoping to sort of catch them out one day, right? To jump in and see one of them, you know, doing something horribly wrong. But they're always the same, right? They're always so consistent in their life. And that's the kind of people that God wants. And they're not living an outrageous life. They're living a simple life. And they're applying the principles of God every day in the way that they live. Now, God says, that's the kind of people that I want you to be. I want you to be people who have godliness in every part of your life. Now, how do we develop that kind of character? How do we develop that kind of character? Well, just come over to me to Luke chapter 6. And Jesus says here, the process of building a character like that is godly in all the facets of it, he said it's similar to a wise man who builds a house. He says in verse 47, everyone who comes to me and listens to my words and puts them into the practice, I will show you what he is like. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? That's what we want to be. We want to be people, like that verse says, who listens to the word of God and then puts them into practice in our life. And then he says this is what they're like. He says it's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on bedrock. So it's like a builder who goes out to build a house, right? Now, the first thing that this builder does when he goes out to build the house, right, is he thinks about the building that he's going to build. Because he doesn't want to build just any kind of building that's going to collapse after a certain amount of time. And one of the key things that this man's got in mind about his building, right, is he wants it to last. Now, the building that he's talking about is his spiritual life. And he wants to build a spiritual life that's going to last. Now, that's what we want to do, don't we? We want to build a spiritual life that's going to last beyond this week, that's going to grow past this week. And Jesus says, this is how you're going to do it. And it says what he did was he dug down deep and laid the foundation on bedrock. So he spent a lot of time in the building of his house, and a lot of effort digging down deep into the ground and laying this foundation right down deep in the ground in an area of his house that no one would ever see. He spent a lot of time digging and building in unseen areas of his life. Now, about 2 years ago, I built a decking. Right? It's the only thing I've ever built, right? But I try and weave it into as many talks as I possibly can so that people think I'm really handy, right? I'm a really good builder. In fact, it's starting to work because a couple of weeks ago I was at a meeting and someone said to me, "Oh, you're John Lawson, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "You're a builder, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, that's right." But this is the only thing I've ever built, right? It's a decking. Now, this decking took me so long to build. It was a big decking, right? It was 14 metres long by 4.5 metres deep. And I've never built anything like that in my life. And to my amazement, because I had to build a friend, and I asked him how to build it. To my amazement, I said, "How do I build this house?" Right? Not this house, this decking, right? And he said, "Well, you got to, like, lay this foundation." I'm like, "Oh, I was just hoping to sort of, like, lay it straight on the dirt." Right? He's like, no. "You've actually got to lay it. You got to build this massive foundation for it." And I had to end up putting over 70 posts, right, digging 1 metre into the ground for every single post, over 70 posts for that decking, right? It took me over 1 year to build the foundation for the decking. I was out there every single Saturday for an entire year to build the foundation of that place, right? And it looked awesome, the foundation, right? Looked absolutely unreal. And when I came to actually put the top on, it was actually a bit disappointing. I was thinking, all this work, and I actually got halfway through the decking, right? And Leanne was like, "Just finish the stupid decking, right? It's been going on for a year and a half." And I was like, "I just want people to appreciate all the work that I've put underneath the decking." Right? It's amazing. Now, all the work for that building had been put into the part of the building of the decking. All that effort had been put into the part of the decking that no one was ever going to see. But it was the most important part of the building. And it required the most effort. And the builder here, the wise builder, is telling you and me that the parts of our life, young people, that we need to put all the time and effort into are the parts of our life that no one ever sees. And it says about that man's house, as we read on, that the rain came down. And the hail started to fall on that house. And there was a flood. And they're all the trials that are going to hit us in life. And sometimes, young people, it's like wind. And sometimes the trials of life will be like a filthy hail. But this man's house, young people, stood firm in all that. It stood strong. And what was the secret? What was the key to the strength and the longevity of that spiritual house that he was building? It was the foundation. And the foundation, young people, that he was building was godliness. It was all the little things in his life that he put into practice in the little unseen parts of his life. And when he put them all together, it formed who he was. And you can see people, you've probably experienced people in your life, I certainly have in the meeting, where you see people that go through unbelievable trials. Things happen in their family breaks up and tragedies happen. And they hang on to the truth. And you think, how are they hanging on to the truth? If it was me, I would have let go and said, "Oh, forget about it. It's not worth it." But those people have laid a foundation. Godliness just wasn't something that they never put in practice, but godliness had become part of who they were, of what their characters were like, and they can't let it go because they know it's true and they know it's so powerful in their life. And then there was the foolish builder. And what did he do? Well, the record says that the foolish builder built a house and he had no foundation. See, the foolish builder put no time whatsoever into the parts of his life where no one could ever see. He was at the meeting on Sunday. He was at all the big key events that he needed to be in the meeting. And everyone looked at his house and thought, wow, what a great house. But when the rain came down and the hail got harder and the floods rose, it says that his house fell over. And see, Paul was seeing in Ephesus, and we've been looking at it this week, he was seeing brethren and sisters in the ecclesia at Ephesus who were building houses like that. Paul said, there's some people in the meeting who have left off godliness. They've stopped practicing God's principles in the everyday things of their life. And you know what's going to happen? He said, it's already started to happen. Some people have made shipwreck of their faith. And they're no longer following after the principles of God. And he says it's a tragedy. God wants us to build, young people, a spiritual house that's going to last the test of time. And in order to do that, we need to do two things that builder did. We need to do two things when we leave this place to build a house which is going to last. The first thing that we need to do is we need to, like that builder, we need to put effort into our house. We need to put determination into our house. Paul said to Timothy, to build your house, Timothy, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight that good fight. And you're going to have to be determined to stick at it, come what may, to build that house. And Paul's saying that to us. He's saying to us, it's going to require effort. It's not, the house is just not going to build itself. And you need to apply yourself to build. It's much easier to build a house with no foundation at all. It's much easier, isn't it, to come along to things like this and to go along to the meeting. But when it comes to Monday morning, when it comes to our real life, to just let these principles go by and to not take hold of them and to not live in our life. It's much easier to build a house with no foundation. And the second thing we learn about that builder, young people, is that the area of emphasis which we need to have in our spiritual building is on the unseen things. Those small parts of our life that no one can ever see. And Paul says if you do that, Jesus says if you do that, you'll build this house that is strong, that is firm, that is going to withstand the nastiest of storms. That's the kind of house that I want you to build me. Now, why did God want us to build that type of house? Well, he told Timothy, didn't he? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, don't turn this, the last chapter which you looked at today in our discussion groups. He told the servants there that we all bear the name of God. That we all take the name of God out into the world. And he goes on later in that chapter to describe God as the great God who lives in the heavens, which no man has seen at any time, nor can see. And what Paul is exhorting us to do, and he was exhorting those servants, is he wants us in our life to go out and reflect who God is in the everyday aspects of our life. If we don't do that, young people, how are people going to know about who God is? I don't know about you, but the people that I come into contact every day are generally people who are not really interested in the Bible. And they're not reading the Bible every day. And sometimes it's the reflection, young people, of our character that's going to even show them about who God is and what he's like. And that's what God wants us to be in our life. He cares about the little things of our life. and reflecting that to people around. And those little things, although they seem small, are unbelievably powerful when they become part of our life. They become a powerful witness to our God and who He is. And people take notice. Now, I'll just share with you a little story about how my father-in-law came into the truth. My father-in-law has been in the truth for about 20 years. And he used to deliver, he used to have a business where he would deliver televisions. And he would go into hospitals. This is before hospitals had TVs in every single room. And he would deliver televisions to every single one of those people that wanted them. So he'd go in and say, "Do you want a TV?" And people would say, "Yeah, yeah, I want to have a TV." And so he was in and out of hospitals every day. And he did this for about 15 years. He did this. And one day when he was going into the hospital, he saw something very peculiar. He saw something that was totally out of the ordinary. There was this one lady who, when he walked in, she just had so many cards. She had so many balloons, and she was always having people coming in and out, visiting her. All the time. And he would come back the next day, and he would find the same thing. He would find people there all the time, and cards and flowers and balloons. And it was so remarkable that he went up to one of the nurses, or one of the people, actually, who he bumped into, who was going to visit this girl. And he said to the girl, he said, "Who is this person?" He thought that surely she must be some kind of celebrity, and he was hoping to get in there, get introduced, you know, get some kind of autograph. And she said, "No, no. This person is a young person. They're a person that is actually, they're not even from here. They're from Canada. And they've only been in Australia for about 3 weeks. And she's had a tragic accident. And it's so serious that she's come out of a coma. And she's got no family here. She's got no one to care for her. And all these people who are here are Christadelphians, because she's part of the family, the worldwide family which we share." And he was blown away by that. And he left that hospital thinking, who on earth are the Christadelphians? Because in all his time of visiting hospitals, he'd never seen anything like that. And what was it that young people that drew him to the principles of the truth? Was it any great acts? Was it some mighty thing? It was the little things. It was the little things of people caring for this woman, caring for this girl, that drew him to God. And that's what Paul, young people, is saying that he wants Timothy to do. He's telling Paul that the principles lived in our life are the most powerful thing, because they draw people to God. They show people in the world who know nothing about God, they show God, people who God is like and what He's like, and that He's a caring God and that He's a loving God. And people take notice of that. And people are drawn to that. And how many stories, young people, do you know like that? About people who have been brought into the truth. And most of the time, young people, the people that have been brought into the truth have not come by some lecture or seminar, even though those are great things and powerful things. Most of the people that come into the meeting because they see in someone else's life what God is truly like. And God says, That's what I want you to be like. That's what I want Timothy to be like in the ecclesia at Ephesus. It's a life that I want the Ephesians to retake because they're losing that life. And it's a life, young people, that he wants for us. Now, why did Paul choose Timothy to deliver that message? Why did Paul choose Timothy to deliver that message? Well, I think, young people, the reason why God chose Timothy to deliver the message was because he was just a normal, everyday guy. A normal, everyday guy. He didn't have, young people, any great special talents. He didn't have, young people, a great confidence. It says in the scripture that Timothy was a timid man. He didn't have, young people, any great wealth or power. He was just an everyday man. And Paul was telling you, and he was telling me, and he was telling the Ephesian ecclesia, that godliness, young people, is not about special talents. It's not about a special family background or a special certain amount of money that we might have. Godliness, young people, is about attitude. And it's about faith. And Paul is saying, we can all do this. We can all be a part of that. And godliness, young people, is not going to start next Sunday. It's not going to start at the next CYC. It can't start, young people, at the next big event. Godliness, young people, has to start on Monday morning when we go to work and when we interact with the people that we see every day. It's how we speak. It's the passions that we show to people. It's looking after other people in the meeting who need it. All those things are the things which God wants us to live in our everyday life. Now, why does God want us to be like that? What's in it for you and me? Young people, we've been told by Paul that if we do that in our life, it holds promise for not only this present life, but the life which is to come. God says there's benefit now in living a life that's like that. There's benefit now in the way that you live. You will benefit from it. But he says the real benefit is in the life to come. Just turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. This is what Paul was telling Timothy it was all about. He says, compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life that you were called and made, that you were called for and made your good confession for in the presence of many witnesses. So Paul says, the real benefit, you'll get benefit now, young people, if you put the principles of God into practice. But the real ultimate benefit is going to be in the future. And the future benefit for all of us is eternal life. And what's eternal life going to be like? Well, I think Luke said in his opening exhort, he said that eternal life, young people, is a little bit like study week. That study week gives you a taste of what eternal life is like. I've been here for only 2 days. And study week tastes awesome. it tastes unreal. And sometimes when you're at study week, it's hard to appreciate that. I've been here for only 2 days, and to come into a group of people like this is incredible. You're talking about God. You're wanting to share God to all different people. And you're not normally like that. But study week has made you like that because you've been in contact with the principles of God for one whole entire week. And you've shared experiences together around God. But it has to come to an end, doesn't it? It has to finish. And I always remember, like, leaving study weeks when I was younger. I had a really good friend who I used to go to study weeks with, and we went to the same school together. And you'd go the next day to school after study week, and it was just so hard to get back into normal life. Because you had been so affected during the week by the things that you had learnt and the teachings and the people and that you had met. And it was so hard to get back into everyday life. But one day, young people, it's never going to come to an end, is it? And that's what eternal life is all about. One day, we're going to have a time of fellowship and love and thanksgiving to God that is never going to come to an end. Imagine what it's going to be like, young people, when we're all together in Jerusalem. All together in Jerusalem. Praising the Father. Praising Him for everything that He's done for us. It will be an amazing time. And then in, young people, will come our King. Our Master. The one, young people, that we come to remember now. A man, young people, who lived godliness in every part of his life. He showed godliness to everyone he met, to everyone he came in contact with. And although people lied about him, and some people hated him, and some people treated him violently, he held on, young people, to godliness in his daily life. And that's what, young people, he wants us to do when we leave this place. He wants us, young people, to hold on to godliness and to do that in the very little things that we do every day in life. And hopefully, young people, he will say to us in that day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in the very least. Come, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world."